The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us on your smart speaker, device, or radio. We are blessed to be able to reach you, and today we are answering questions from listeners like yourself. The question that we're going to focus on today has to do with justification. Why does Romans 2:13 say that the doers of the law will be justified? Well, you know what? I think that is a great question for Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's talk some theology. Let's discuss and think about theology. You just don't get a chance, most people, to think about deep things. You just don't. You need to create these opportunities and these spaces to just kind of talk about something.
I'll tell you what, Sean, literally this keeps me younger,
right?
Because my brain is so challenged by doing this show with you every day. It keeps me so on my toes.
Oh, yeah.
It's so beneficial to me. So I'm blessed spiritually by it, but I'm also blessed mentally. It just keeps me mentally alert.
So if you want to be mentally alert, just
start your own radio program every day.
Start a discussion group. Invite people over. I mean,
that's
there used
true,
to be,
right?
Yeah, there used to be, when I lived in East Dallas, there was something like this Socrates Society or something like that. But it was really just a covert Christian thing where people would go and meet at this house in East Dallas, and we would hear someone present a paper and we would talk theology or philosophy, or it was usually kind of like a mixture of the two. But, you know, there's a space for people to just want to talk about stuff like that. And people, you know, in your Sunday school class, if you're using the typical Sunday school literature, it's really just making people talk about their feelings. And yeah, some people want to talk about their feelings, but you can't grow. You're not going to be alert or stay young if you're just talking about your feelings all day. How do you feel about the Jews being slaves in Egypt? Well, I just feel terrible about that. It really reminds me of this completely unrelated thing in my life that I want to talk about. Actually, we're trying to put together five study small group booklets or workbooks.
We're working on them now, yeah.
Right? I think there's five or six of them in the works. And they're going to have content. They're going to have meat here. It's not really going to be about what people feel. It's going to be what do they believe, what do they think.
There will be a few questions occasionally on, you know, how do you feel about that? But 90% of the questions are going to be open-ended questions that make you grapple with the meaning and application of the text.
Right. And hopefully that'll be done, and it'll be available for your small group or for your church or your Bible study or home group or whatever you have.
By June of 2022, right? Next June?
Yeah, next summer. And hopefully we'll have some videos to go along with some of those things. And we're going to try to create it into packages because so many people have asked us. We need materials. We're starving for materials. You know, all this other stuff is just fluff. We need Bible truth here. So they're like, there's all this work salvation stuff out here. And
yeah, some of it can be grappling with the text, but from a work salvation, they're guiding you toward a work salvation answer.
Oh, yeah. Or
lordship salvation.
Lordship salvation answer. So it's either wrong or it's fluffy. There's not a whole lot of sound biblical material out there. So we're going to try to produce that for y'all. And it's not Bob and I writing it. I know I'm not. Are you writing
one? I'm doing one on John. But by the way, these five are just the beginning.
Yes.
Assuming these go well, all five of the authors are going to then write another one.
Yeah.
So we hope to do, say, over the next 3 or 4 years, 15 or 20 Bible study booklets. But hey, we got to start somewhere. So let's see if we can get five done by next summer.
Yeah, that's our thinking. So if you want to support that, you can, you know, give at faithalone.org. We appreciate the support that you've given so far, because of now we've been able to just kind of go ahead and do it. But if you want to see more or you want to hear more of this program, well, we do appreciate your support. Here's a question from Paul. He says that the Apostle Paul says over and over again that justification is not by works of the law. That's absolutely true. Galatians 2:16, for example, says it three times. And yet, Paul continues, in Romans 2:13, he says that those who obey the law will be justified. Can you explain this? And this is actually, you know, let me put it this way. Bob, you tell me if you agree or not. If you can do the impossible thing, then yeah, you'll be justified. But for everyone else, you're not going to be justified.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And by the way, Paul raises a good point when he asks this question. But I don't think he should be going to Galatians 2:16 to ask about Romans 2:13. I think he would be better off to stick within Romans
3:20
and say, okay, why don't you read Romans 3:20?
Well, 3:20, for example, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what happens when you try to live up to the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount or whatever for one day? What are you going to find?
The knowledge of sin.
You're going to find that you cannot live up to those things. You might live up to it for a few minutes, and then suddenly covetousness comes all around, or anger, or lust, or you're going to put something ahead of God and create idolatry, and you might stub your toe and take his name in vain. Who knows what you're going to do, but just try to obey God, not only the Ten, but all the other hundreds of commandments, and you're going to find that you can't do it. You cannot do it.
Well, take a look at the verses that follow that. Romans 3:21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. By the way, this says the Old Testament Torah and the Old Testament prophets witness to justification by faith alone apart from works. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, that's a past tense, and fall short of the glory of God, that's a present tense.
Yeah.
Being justified freely by his grace or by his favor through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth publicly as a propitiation by his blood, or this could be translated mercy seat by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed, that's pre-cross sins, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So over and over again, it's faith in Jesus apart from works. So the question is, and every commentator has to deal with this, how do you harmonize Romans 2:13 with Romans 3:20 or Romans 3:21 through 26 or all the way up to 4:25?
Yes.
Everybody has to grapple with that. And the answer Sean's giving, which I absolutely agree with, is the hypothetical view.
Yeah.
It's saying, Paul says in verse 13 of chapter 2, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Well, what Paul is saying here is, if you are the moral man, and that's what most people think Paul is addressing in 2:1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. So when he comes to verse 13, he's saying to this moral man who thinks he can be justified by works, okay, keep the law perfectly, don't sin from conception to death.
Yes.
And yet, he goes on to say in 3:23, there is no such person, because all have sinned in the past, and all sin in the present.
Right.
All fall short of the glory of God in the present. So, I love your question, but the truth is, what 2:13 is speaking of is the hypothetical issue.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think that also explains earlier in chapter 2 about verse, 6, who will render to each according to his deeds, and verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of the man who does evil. Basically, I think that's, again, the hypothetical, that if there is a person who does the good and never sins, never does the evil, then yeah, theoretically they could be justified that way. But in reality, there's no such person.
But people often think there can be such a person. I've seen it myself, and I've seen other writers describe it this way. They say that a lot of churches teach law, but they teach soft law instead of hard law. And what they mean is, they don't teach you need to be perfect. They just teach you need to do the law and you need to be better than average. But then they would say, but actually the Bible requires Hard law. Be perfect as I am perfect. Be holy as I am holy. If you commit one sin, you're guilty of all. You know, so
that's,
it's like,
by the way, that's Galatians 3:10 and also what? I think 1 John 2:10.
So I have my own term. I call that cheap law. You know how some people call our position the cheap grace position, although it isn't. It's free grace. But cheap law is when it's like you can buy your salvation by just kind of doing a few of the things in the law. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to try to do your best. And that kind of gives people an illusion that, yeah, I'm going to be justified by the law because I don't need to be perfect. I just need to do my best and kind of do the major things and be a respectable sinner. But the truth is, you're either saved by being perfect or you're saved by having Christ's perfection imputed to you.
That is good. And by the way, I need to correct what I earlier said. I said Galatians 3:10 or 1 John 2:10. That's actually James 2:10. James 2:10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all."
And what do you think that means, by the way?
I think that means that if you were to commit even one sin, you are a sinner.
Yeah. How many felonies does it take to be a felon?
One.
Just one. If you break the law, you're a lawbreaker.
And the same thing is true with believing. Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a believer, even if later you stop believing, because the believer is one who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for his everlasting salvation.
Amen, amen, amen. So what's it going to be, Paul? Are you going to try to be saved based on your own earthly righteousness, or through faith, are you going to accept Christ's imputed righteousness to you?
Yeah, and I like that, Sean, but I think here's another point. I think Paul is like many of us, in that most likely he is sure that he has everlasting life simply by faith in Christ apart from works, and yet he's puzzled by a verse like Romans 2:13.
Right.
He doesn't know quite how to deal with it. And I think Paul illustrates something we all need to be aware of. Even though we're sure that John 3:16 is true, there are going to be verses that come up that we scratch our head and go, what does that verse mean?
Mm-hmm.
And look, we're here to help. Send us a letter or send us an email or go on our website, faithalone.org, and search on our search bar, and you'll see we have discussion of almost all of these problem passages. But asking those questions is a good thing because you grow in your ability to share your faith, because when you share your faith, people ask these kind of questions.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss whether it's possible to receive eternal salvation without confessing sin. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.